Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros. Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Good morning, dudes. I'm just happy to report that I just finished walking the dogs. They both went potty, and they told me in their own unique way that they can't wait for Uncle Chewy to dog sit for them.
Oh, nice. Okay. I don't pick up
very
poop, though.
That's fair. Who's gonna come up to Mark Chimura if he leaves his dog's crap on your lawn and say, "Hey, man, you got to pick that up"? I don't think anybody's going to be bold enough to do that.
Jason, didn't you have an issue in the neighborhood, too?
One of the neighbors got a little upset? Yeah.
See, yeah, I don't mind. Because my area here, Jason, out of the whole country, has the most dogs per household.
Capital.
So there's a ton of dogs. I do not have a problem with a dog pooping on my lawn, as long as you pick it up.
Right?
I don't have a problem with that.
And they've got these nifty rocks now that they change the pH balance. We got more important things to talk about, but if I may finish. They have these rocks that you put in their water bowls, and they're organic and whatever else, but they change the pH balance of their pee. So if they pee on someone's yard, they don't leave a big, dead grass spot.
Yeah.
So there's really no downside other than you're just being a dink.
Yes, I agree.
That's basically it.
Okay. If you want to talk about
on the Quay Walker's
calf.
Yeah, what the hell happened there? Sorry, Gabe.
Calves are tricky, man. I'm sorry, Gabe. Did you have something really important to get to?
No, I was just wondering. I mean, we can get to it after we get to Quay.
Okay. I feel like I've thrown off the entire segment, and I apologize. Well, not to you guys, but to our
listeners. Well, I didn't help.
That's very fair. But we make quite a good team when this happens.
Yes, we do.
So I don't know because he wasn't listed on the injury report. Before yesterday, and what usually happens, not always, but the great majority of the time, is if a guy gets added to the injury report and is listed as a limited participant. Jordan Morgan was added yesterday that way with an illness, and Malik Willis was added to that with an ankle injury. Now, again, Matt LaFleur chooses to speak to reporters before practice instead of after, so that's not super helpful. And after practice, we don't have access. So did Malik Willis roll his ankle while running the scout team yesterday? And that's why he was limited, because he did everything until he rolled his ankle. Then he did nothing. So you end up as limited, right? Did, J-Mo puke his guts out? Maybe not on the ball like Josh Myers once did, but and be asked to leave practice and go see Flea and the guys. And so I don't know. But in Quay's case, he was not added to the report on Wednesday at all. Like, he was not on there. And then yesterday he was added, did not participate. And Domofsky was there, obviously, at practice because it's during the show, said that he was on the side with the trainers. So I don't know, but I would say this, and I'll defer to Chewy on this. Like, he's your on-field play caller. He's the green dot. So not only has he played well, but he also is that communicator guy. So to me, I mean, I made that the lead of my notebook on Channel 3000, because if he's not available, sure, you know, it's not like you are losing Parsons, but it throws off your defense to some degree, I would think.
So, Jason, you're a word guy, right? You're a word guy.
I am a word guy.
You've written a lot of them over the words, very familiar with the English language. So what is the word in English for when somebody plays 100% of the snaps two games in a row, and then, while completely healthy, only plays four snaps in the following game? Is there a word in our language that we have for that?
There is. Apparently, some people don't agree with the word that I'm going to use here. And don't worry, Josh, you don't have to bleep it out for FCC reasons. The word is, that person was benched.
Yes. Why can't we say that Nate Hobbs was benched? Why are we disagreeing with that? Because
Nate Hobbs seems to think he was benched.
Yes. Well, because guess what? Guess what, Josh? No matter what you want to call it, that's what happened. And for a guy, Jason, that I know you really like, and I think Packer fans really like, I really don't like how he's handled this Nate Hobbs situation and has felt like the need to lie about it the last 2 weeks.
Well, lying is a very strong word, kind of like benched. Maybe we would say he's been misleading or...
Whatever you want to say. Okay, if you want to say the misleading of, oh no, we still have a lot of faith in Nate Hobbs, the way that they said it last week, and then he doesn't play, and then this, oh, he's not benched. Yeah. Like, the not benched part's a lie.
First of all, he played. He played four snaps. So let's, if we're going to be conscious of words here.
Sure, okay.
Let's make sure we're being, conscious.
He played 6% of the snaps, Jason. He went from 100% 2 weeks in a row to 6.
Yeah, that's a lot less. I'm no mathematician. But I'm not a wordsmith, apparently, either. Here's the only thing I can think of, and I want to be clear, I don't know Nate Hobbs barely at all. I have interviewed him probably four times since he got here. I say hello to everyone when they walk by me in the locker room. It's kind of I just like to be friendly. So I've said hello to him a few times. He blew me off last week on Wednesday and again on Friday. Saying he had to go get treatment or he's going to the shower, he had to poop or whatever it was he had to do. So I don't know. Like, I was going to ask him, how do you rebound from this? He says, by the way, that he was informed that they were going with CV on Saturday night. So, and said that they did, that they basically, the snaps weren't any different in practice. Now, if you want to ask me if that's a lie, that kind of feels lie-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you got to get CV ready, you're giving him the same number of snaps. The only thing I can think of is that, they obviously paid him. I don't know his personality at all, but they apparently, at least based on the way Jeff Hafley has chosen to address this, feel like they need to coddle him a little bit. Like they're worried that he's going to go in the tank. I mean, he talked a lot about the Lord and how he leans on his faith. Again, I don't know him well enough to be able to speak to his personality and how I've seen him deal with other things. But, yeah, it's weird. Like, Jeff Hafley could have gone with something that effective. Look, and this is part of what he said. Look, we're going to need Nate again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But he didn't play well against Arizona. We decided to make a change. And now he's facing some adversity. And he could have blended in what he also said about CV, which I thought was really good, which was, hey, this guy has faced adversity. Like, I'm sure he was sitting there on the bench saying, I can play. I want to play. I need to play more. Because he had not played a ton through the first six games, right? He could have easily made an argument of, look at the way Hobbs is playing. I need to be on the field instead of that guy. And he didn't do that. So now it's Nate Hobbs' turn to face adversity. But, he could have said to us, look, I don't like the word benched because that sounds permanent. And this is definitely not permanent. It's going to be a competitive situation. We're going to give him all the opportunities to show us that he should be back out there. But for right now, we think CV gives us the best chance to win, and that's why we're going with him. But the idea to literally say Nate Hobbs was not benched, okay. But that's why a national radio guy like yourself clings on to that, because that's just ridiculous.
It's just not the truth. It's not the truth.
Again, it seems very harsh to me. I'm going to choose to say that it's not the case.
Jason, this is kind of a stupid question, but LaFleur said something I didn't really care for. Even though it was about a kicker, kickers have feelings too.
Whoa.
He said, in regards to his injury, he said he looked good. I didn't ask him how he felt. I don't talk to kickers.
And you didn't like that?
I didn't like that.
Mr. Kickers aren't football players?
Yeah, but they have feelings, Gabe. They have feelings. Was he joking around after that? Or was it just, did he just make that statement? He was, okay.
Yes. There's another complicated fella. Not LaFleur. I know him well enough now. But I've had some really good conversations with Brandon McManus over the last, year or so that he's been here. But again, I don't know him very well. It felt to me like the way they kind of went back and forth about his quad when this first started on October 8th, like McManus with the, LaFleur saying, I'm very concerned. McManus with that line about the thesaurus. He has a different thesaurus or a different dictionary than me. And then the next day, LaFleur getting up there at the podium and saying, somebody asked him about McManus again. He said, I don't have my thesaurus with me. Like, I don't know if they have the kind of relationship that's jokey ha-ha, or if it's one of those every joke has a little bit of truth to it. And he was a little irritated, frankly, because I do think, and I don't think Matt would admit this publicly, I think he was irritated that McManus downplayed the significance of the injury and basically said, look, I've played through this before. I'll do it again. Because, again, Matt LaFleur is thinking long term. He called it the long term play of not having him kick those two games. But you know this. Tausch definitely knows this. Like, in the NFL, man, when you have a job, I don't care if it's Jeff Thomason or Brian Bulaga or whoever it is who is behind you, you do not want to give that guy any opening. Right. Even if it's Lucas Havrisik, who made like 70% of his kicks before when he was with the Rams, you don't want to be opening the door for someone to take your job. And what did Havrisik do? He made all 10 of his kicks when he's out there. There are people that think he should be kicking instead of McManus now. Right. There's the thought. You could say that because of the way Goody approaches things and the age of Brandon McManus, you could say that maybe even Goody said, this guy costs a lot less, and he's a lot younger. He could be our kicker for the next 10 years if he's as good as we think he might be. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's LaFleur just joking around, or maybe he didn't bother to ask him because whatever his opinion is, there's been some issues about his quadriceps previously. Again, that's just me guessing. Maybe they're just all hunky-dory and they're all, they're going out for Coors Lights after the game. But I thought that was a weird thing to say as well. I totally agree with you on that.
If the Packers were to make a trade, whether it's a cornerback, whether it's defensive line, if they were to make a trade before next Tuesday's deadline, Jason, what do you think is the highest draft pick Goody would be comfortable trading?
6-7.
I feel like I set you up for that.
You did, and I appreciate that. The only disappointment is that the girls went down to get breakfast, and so they didn't get to enjoy that and rolled their eyes at me and tell me what a loser I am. By the way, I've been told that parents are ruining 6-7. And I said, good.
Oh,
that's exactly
that.
My goal.
Yes. Yeah. I saw multiple parents walking with 6-7 costumes at Halloween last weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Jason, real quick, what happened to Ben Sims? Did they just, because I thought he was decent. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah.
Just not a good enough receiver for him, and Fitzpatrick is better?
Yeah. So what's really interesting is all four of those tight. Well, I mean, Ben, we'll include Ben, even though he's now a Viking. But Ben Sims, John Fitzpatrick, Tucker Kraft, and Luke Musgrave. All four of those guys came in for pre-draft visits, I think. Definitely Sims and Fitzpatrick, neither of whom they actually drafted. But they both came in for visits. They're all the same age. They all came into the league in 23. And, yeah, I thought they really liked Ben Sims, too. And then, you know, he's inactive a couple times. And not just because I bumped into him at Chipotle, which Tausch loves to remind me of because he thinks I was stalking him. Hey, Ben, what kind of queso do you get on your burrito?
Are you a bowl or a burrito guy, Jason? You strike me as a bowl guy.
I am. I will go all those directions.
Okay.
I see now that they're doing make your own or whatever, which I think is supposed to be for large groups. But think I could probably do that all by myself. So
they put a little too much seasoning on the chicken, though. I don't really. They need to back that off.
I'm enjoying the carne asada, and unfortunately, they don't sell ice cream, so we're not supposed to be doing this. I don't know because it felt like he was one of those guys that did everything. And on top of that, and I told you guys this, I think recently, like when there was a question of whether McManus would kick, he's been working on holding, and he's been working on long snapping, which I like anybody that does that.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Then he had 89, Jason. Right. Hey, was 89.
But, you know, not everyone pans out. That's been a really good number over the years, by the way.
Yeah,
but
it has
not
been.
For him. Yep.
Jason, we appreciate it. Look forward to hearing you and Tausch break down Packers-Panthers coming up with Wildy and Tausch.
Me too. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, maybe you don't know what your future wife wants in a ring. Go to our Pinterest page, see if there's anything there, bring it in, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center are always going to point you in the right direction. Whether it's a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Online, shoptjc.com. And when you do, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.